In 2002, ever since I was a little boy, I enjoyed singing this song. We sang it last night. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. I'd like to sing it tonight again because we all know it. It brings back a lot of memories to those of us that have known the Lord Jesus a long time. It's a precious hymn, and this may be the last time it's ever sung on earth. Could someone start number 12? Years ago, the early part of the early days of this country, there was a man. He was walking across the Midwest in the wintertime, and he came to a river. It was cold, and the river had frozen over, and he came to that river, and he thought to himself, "Here I am, I'm alone. And if I get out on that river, on that ice," he wanted to go cross country, there was no bridge. "If I get out on that ice and I fall in, there'll be nobody to help me. So I need to get across there. I know what I'll do." So he got down. He spread out like this. And he got down on the ice to spread the load. And he starts scraping his way across that ice, listening for cracks, worried, wondering. And he hears a noise and somebody whistling. He turns around, he looks back up, and he sees a man with a team of horses and a load of coal. Sitting up there, holding on to the reins, and he's going across that body of water. That ice was thick. And so, what did he do? He got up and he dusted himself off and got the snow and the ice and everything off of him. And with confidence, he walked right over to the other side. I love that story. You can thank Spurgeon for that one. Yes, and tonight, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But there is a way that God has laid out in his precious word, and you can put your full weight, strength, confidence in it. If you were to look down in the ice, as it were, it's solid all the way down to the bottom, according to our little proverb here. You can put your complete trust in what we're going to say tonight from the Word of God. Don't put your trust in what I say. Every Word of God is pure. Every Word of God is pure. Purified seven times, tried in a furnace of earth. The Lord Jesus was down here and he spoke those words of life. He spoke those words of love and compassion to mankind. And men came out with deadly intent to take him and his words out. Those words were tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. There's no dross tonight. When a verse of scripture is read, you can do like that older sister. She would put a T and a P right beside these verses, and someone says, "What does that T period P period stand for?" She said, "That means tested and proven." Now, tonight, you need the Lord Jesus. You say, who is this group of people here tonight? Well, I think I saw it on a bumper sticker out in the parking lot. I think it was the back of a white van. It said, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. That's who we are. I think if I were to make a bumper sticker, it would say this: I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do you belong to? Oh, he's worthy. He's wonderful. And there's most of us in this room tonight, I see many, many faces that I know and have known for 50 years, some of them. They're redeemed. They're happy. They're at peace. I also. I noticed in the paper that was thrown, our front door at the hotel there, it says Powerball winner plans to share the jackpot. His name is Whitaker. Andrew Whitaker. And there's not too many of us in the country, so I might think he's given this money away. His conscience has already got him. He said he's going to give some to this and that and that. He promises to give it away. But anyway, you know, he's going to collect $111.6 million after taxes. That's quite a bit. I wouldn't trade, and you wouldn't either, brother, for an hour and a half this morning in the presence of the Lord Jesus. There it is. Wouldn't trade any of it, none of it, for what we had today. We had the Eternal One on our hearts. We had God's beloved Son on our hearts. And tonight, it is my desire and the desire of the believers in this room here tonight that just one person be magnified. That's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that name. Well, I'm going to fill you in for 1 or 2 minutes here. Who are these people? The redeemed from the earth. Children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Those that have bowed their knees in the presence of God, both of them. Which reminds me of the story. Paul Hadley had a Sunday school, and he had the children put their hands or point to their knees, and another time hold their tongue. And he says, you see those knees? Those knees will bow to the Lord Jesus someday, if they don't do it sooner. Well, somebody had this gospel tape from Brother Paul Hadley, and they had it in their tape deck in their car. And they were playing it, and when they turned the engine off, the tape went off, and they told the guy to change the oil. The technician climbs in the car, he turns on the ignition, and the tape comes on, and it says, do you see those two knees of yours? Point to them. Those knees will bow in the presence of the Lord Jesus someday. He's in a donut shop, and sitting there, donut, glass of milk, right a couple tables away were some old timers. And they could take that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ and they could blend it in with their conversation fluently in the wrong way. That precious name that goes out like fragrance on the breeze, covers the earth, that precious name of Jesus. They would use it in connection with the worst words you could find. Oh yes, God still has an issue with this world tonight. Young people, old people, everybody, have you been in the presence of God? Have you ever, for 5 minutes, sat in the presence of God with no distractions, no sports going on, no this, no that, just quietly in the presence of your home, perhaps, or in the seat of your car, and you've let God speak to your heart. There's lots of things coming and going nowadays. There's a ongoing noise that presses in upon the folks here in the United States. There's hardly a quiet moment. But don't you think it's time to get quiet in the presence of God? Well, beside you is a friend or an acquaintance tonight. You say, well, the person beside me is my friend. Let me ask you this. Does that friend sitting beside you have a care for your soul? Well, they never talk about it. We have good times and Friday night and so on. They're friends. If that person doesn't have a care for your soul, that person is not your friend. That person is an acquaintance. Is that right? We're here from all walks of life, Christians. There's old, young, different parts of the country, different countries represented. My desire is to introduce you to the Lord Jesus tonight. In the beginning, God. Genesis chapter 1. I'm not going to read there, but I'm just going to look at that with you. What a marvelous way for God to begin His Word. In the beginning, God. You know, this book here is not a book about dinosaurs. Some people, when they get the book of Genesis open, they immediately start talking about 50,000 years ago and so on. They want to talk dinosaurs. They want to get a spade. And in their doubt, they want to go over and start digging around in Israel. God says, in the beginning, I was there. And God created the heaven and the earth. Do you believe that? Now, if you don't believe that, there's no sense in going any further. The Spirit of God will have to awaken you to see that we're dealing tonight in realities. God is like reaching out His hand to you and saying, sinner, I want you to be saved. I want you to know I made this world. I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I gave my Son to die for you on the cross. There's no collections will be taken tonight at all. As a matter of fact, folks, we have something to give. Now, there was a lady that lived in this town, oh, maybe 60 years ago. I think her name was Mary. Mary Lundeen, if I'm not mistaken. And lived in a nice home. Someone came to that house, and they had, I don't know, they had a vacuum cleaner or maybe some kind of cookware or something in this hand, and here they had a gift. They had a nice little introductory gift. And they walked up to the door, and this lady came to the door, and she said, hi, how are you today? Yes, how are you today? Sales lady said, I have a gift for you I would like to give you. And she said, oh, thank you. She reached out and took the gift, and she quickly slipped inside and shut the door. That was a gift with strings attached. Now, I'm sure she went back out because she was just showing this young lady a lesson. Teaching a lesson. The gift that we have tonight is amazing, because when the Lord Jesus healed somebody, He said, go home, go home. Go home. But do I have to follow you? Didn't say that. Go home. No. Another time He healed 10 lepers, the Lord Jesus did. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Oh, they all turned and they left. You go. Oh, but there was one. There was one. He turned and with a loud voice, he glorified God. I'm asking you tonight, have you ever bowed your knees before that blessed one? It says in the Old Testament, every knee should bow. It says in Philippians, every knee shall bow. And it tells us in various places in Scripture, every knee did bow, past tense. There's coming a time in this world, right here, when the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be exalted, it's going to be extolled, and it's going to be very high. And those this morning that were sitting here in company were singing praises to him. And if he was here and he was said, you have an opportunity to bow the knee, there would have been 500 or 600 people that would have bowed the knee. Well, he's in heaven, and it's by faith. Yes, I enjoy that story. A man came into the shop, and he told about his, I believe he was a pilot, a very intelligent fella. But God was speaking to him about his sins. He knew he was a sinner, and you know what happens to sinners? The wages of sin is death. Now, that's the minimum wage. Talk about wage. Minimum wage is death. A little sin, you die. Think about some of us that have been on the road a while. This man knew that he had never bowed his knees to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God was working on him, and he went into his bedroom. This has happened to more. It's happened to one of Bill Prost's friends. Similar situation. This proud man went into this bedroom with just God and himself, and he knew that the wages of sin was against him, and the penalty payday was coming someday. He didn't know when, but he was going to get right that day. But there was a problem. He got down on a knee. That's how far he got, and he couldn't get down any further. You know, that's a wonderful thing. I hear someone get up and they say, let's bow our head, then pray. And you see heads bowed. You see eyes closed. A man, he even sitting in his chair, he's willing to break himself down a little bit. But this man knew that if he didn't get down on both his knees, that's the way he figured it, he was not going to make it through those heavenly gates because his pride was standing in the way. He pondered the matter. One knee was on the floor, the other was not. Terrified, just full of fear and emotion, he took that other knee and he jammed it down onto the floor and he got saved. That's what happened. He got saved that day. What about you? Oh, you don't have to do that. Just let yourself go in those blessed arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave, what a gift, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, they said, I was reading a children's book, and it said, it was about alligators and various species, and it started out 50 million years ago. Well, I kept thumbing through it because I thought that's pretty interesting. They got into the story a little ways, and they said, if somebody tells you that an alligator lives 75 years, don't believe them, because we don't actually know how long an alligator lives. That's amazing, isn't it? Well, you want to know when time began? Turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. This is where time is first recorded. Now, we must remember that God is God, and time belongs to him. We belong to time. Time has control over us in a certain sense, but God has control over time. Remember the time back, was it in Joshua's day when he was fighting a battle? And he needed more time. And so God had the sun stand still. Was it Hezekiah's day? He wanted a sign from God that he was going to recover, I believe. And the prophet said, you want the dial of Ahaz to go down 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? Well, he said, it's anything that go down 10 degrees, it does it every day. Make it go back 10 degrees. The Lord Jesus walked up to a fig tree. And he spoke to that tree. And it was withered up from the roots. God has control of time. And for us to be discussing time in the presence of God is just as ridiculous as it can be. Here we have the beginning of recorded time. And God said, let there be lights. Verse 14. In the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. So children, if somebody says 50 million years ago, you can just turn them to this verse and you can let the Lord work on them. Now it also tells us a very sober and serious thing, when time shall be no more. There's a necessity for you tonight, sinner, to come under the shelter of the precious blood of Christ so freely given at Calvary. Because there's coming a day when he will have rolled up this tapestry of life, as it were, where he has displayed in his wisdom and in his love and his kindness all these beautiful characters and attributes that he needed a very black backdrop to display them on. And he's going to show who is the blessed God, potentate, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's going to show that. He's going to show what grace is. He's going to show what mercy is. He's going to show what kindness is, redemption, union with Christ, substitution, propitiation, atonement. He's going to show all these wonderful things in this period of time. And it's all going to be to the glory of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where will you be when he rolls up this vast tapestry of time where these millions of souls have had to be accountable to God? Where will you be then? A man will stand up and say, what about the Hottentots in Africa that never heard? My father went to a little village one time in Africa, and he had some porters with him and some natives, and they got into this village, and the smoke was coming out of the huts there like they'd been cooking and so on, and there wasn't a soul around. Oh, they were all sitting up in trees. They'd never seen a white man before. There are people on the face of this earth, thousands of them, millions of them, that have never heard the precious name of Christ. Are you worried about those people? Well, it does say, if a man fears God and works righteousness, he's accepted with God. I have to leave that all with God. But tonight you've heard the gospel over and over again. We're at the end of the year 2002 and about to step into a new one, God willing. And you've heard the gospel many, many times. Why should you hear it again? Young man, why should you hear it again? When there's millions of them never heard it once. Think about that. You're responsible, young woman. There'll come a time, many a young person will take their last cold drink of Coca-Cola or Pepsi or whatever it is they drink. I saw someone rushing into the hotel the other night. There's lots of young people from elsewhere. And they had their alcohol with them. There was a rich man. He cried. Was that the rich man that cried out for a drop of water? Cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. God is righteous and God is holy. Along with it, he's love. In the book of John, 1 John, it says it, God is light. It twice it says, God is love. Oh, God wants to display His kindness and His love to you tonight in your fallen, broken condition. Well, I've kind of strayed away with my thoughts. This world tonight is like a cemetery. It would take a lifetime to walk around it. We've been in cemeteries, looked around. This cemetery of this world would take a lifetime to walk around. You couldn't do it in a long lifetime. This world is shaped like a great big tear, someone said. It is. It's a sad place. And I was standing in a memorial, and there were granite walls all around me, arches and steps and granite face, 55,000 names. 8 o'clock every night, the bugle would play taps. And there was silence. 55,000, that's soldiers. Think of the tears. Can you picture? Can you imagine? That was Flanders Field, by the way, Belgium. Can you imagine the river of tears that represents, the sorrow in this poor world we're living in? The Lord Jesus, He looked over that city that was brought up the other night. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not, therefore your house is left unto you desolate. The Lord Jesus, He came to a grave. Oh, they were weeping there. It was a sorrowful sight. And they said, if He'd have been here, Lord, He wouldn't have died. The Lord Jesus surveyed the scene. What did He do? Oh, He wept. John 11:35. It's one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. I think that's one of the most amazing verses, John 11:35. And I think the chapter that our brother read at the remembrance time this morning is the most amazing paragraph that was ever written down anywhere. Jesus wept. Oh, He could see a procession coming out of a city. A woman and her son. Oh, He stopped the whole thing. That's the one that men despise and slight. Old Samuel Rutherford said, I have borne scorn and hatred. I have borne wrong and shame. Earth's proud ones have reproached me for Christ's thrice blessed name. Where God His seal set fairest, they've stamped their foulest brand. But judgment shines like noonday from Emmanuel's land. Where do you stand tonight? The question that was asked, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? You can't get around that question tonight. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The chief was saved. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. A newspaper article one time written by some kind of a cleric. He was trying to offer some comfort to somebody, and here's how he put it. It is appointed unto men once to die, and then he went on with the subject of death and so on and so on. He didn't put the rest of the verse in there. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Isn't there somebody that could take the responsibility of our sins and stand before this righteous and holy God that demands righteousness on our behalf and have that debt completely canceled and wiped clean? Isn't there somebody that can do that on our behalf? Because we can't. Well, there is. The Lord Jesus. That blessed one, when He went into death, not only did He pay for my sins, the full penalty, and there's a lot of them. He went down into that citadel, that fortress of the enemy, And the strong man took on the enemy. Stronger than he took on the strong man. But that whole kingdom, he brought it into shambles. And he annulled the power of the devil, the enemy of your soul tonight. Oh, blessed be his name. Just going to take a moment here in the middle of this meeting to say this. This morning was beautiful, wasn't it, brethren? We sat there musing, thinking, realizing the greatness of this one. Now, as time goes on, he becomes more and more precious. We find consolations that are deep, don't we, brethren? Old lady, sister, elderly sister, lost her husband recently. I said, how about the consolations of God? Oh, they're precious. She said they're wonderful. Old lady was walking up the street one time. A tract was handed to her. Wrinkled face. She looked like she might have been alone on the earth. She was having to make her way by herself. He just thought, what a pathetic situation. She was probably 85 years of age. And she was just hobbling up the street like this, step after step after step. And when that gospel tract was given to her, he said, this is a little gospel tract, ma'am, that tells the way of salvation. She stopped. She closed her eyes. And then with a smile, she said, he gives me songs in the night. Do you have songs in the night? Or is there fear? Is there fear like Adam when he got away and he sinned, and Eve, and he said to God, I was afraid. I was afraid. And I hid myself among the trees of the garden. Oh no, there is one that can stand on your behalf tonight. Stands on your behalf before a righteous and a holy God. And he'll take the full load and responsibility of your sins. You can't do it. And he'll present that precious blood that cleanseth us from all sin. Now, if you want to offer something to help out God in this matter, you don't get anything. You get nothing, because God is going to see to it that his Son is glorified and his Son is magnified and you're blessed. That's the way you get in. There's no other way. If you want to offer 10% of your works, or your works equal 10% of the debt, you get nothing. You'll go to a lost eternity, bankrupt. Is that right, Ernie? Blessed be his name. I love that. Now we're going to go into another little subject here. Who are these people? Oh, their hearts have been touched. They have been moved by the grace of God. And on that table was a loaf of bread. It was a big loaf. Did you see how big that was? Big loaf. And then there were several cups of wine. I would like to talk for just a little moment about that loaf. A man may come and say, Dave, matter of fact, I told this story. I made up the story, then I told it to the man whose name I used. A man might come and say, Dave, where do you fellowship? So on, he started talking. He said, how many people does your fellowship represent? I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll ask you a question. How many people does your fellowship represent? Well, he said, we have quite a number. He said, there's 5,000 chairs and they're full. I said, that's big, isn't it? Yeah, it's large. I said, can we go over there? Yeah, I'll hop in the car. So we go over to this place. We call it the Overlake Church. And walk through the door. It's a little bit early. And so I say, well, now, how many? Well, let me show you on the wall here. We have the names of the folks. And there's 6,000. We have two services. Wow. So they're alphabetical. And I go over and I look. My name happens to be Whitaker. And so I look under W and H, I, and it's not there. I say, Tom, he's assistant pastor. Tom, my name isn't here. Well, he said, yeah, I know, Dave. I've never seen you here before in my life. Oh, so, Tom, come with me. So we go up the hill. It's about a mile away, mile and a half, and maybe a few minutes before 11 o'clock. And we come in here, Tom, and we look inside the door there. And there's a loaf on the table. Tom, I said, how many people are represented here? Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you, Tom. Every child of God upon the face of the whole earth. Not one less. 5,000 is too small. There's a church in Korea, I think, has 250,000. Too small. Way too small. That loaf on the table represents, blessed be his name, that represents the one body of Christ. Oh, what a subject that is. That lets so many questions just go by the way and drop off like autumn leaves. The person of Christ to be gathered there and to bow our hearts in his presence and sing that song. Royal robes will soon invest thee. Royal splendors crown thy brow. Christ of God alone confess thee. King, sovereign, right now. Fills my heart with joy. Getting back to that story, who has the smaller fellowship? 5,000 is paltry. Paltry. Hardly noticeable. Oh, children of God. Oh, don't get things mixed up. Dear children of God, beloved children of God, some of them, they come in, I visit with them because our business is close to them. They have a better knowledge of the Word of God than I do. They have a better prayer life than I do. They have a fruit, far more fruit it seems than I do. What should I say? Sovereignty put me there. Sovereignty. Do you have a Christian companion sitting next to you? And if I would have went up to you, do you deserve it? No. Well, how come you got a Christian companion, brother? Well, because of sovereignty. Isn't that beautiful? Do you fight against it? The sovereignty of God is wonderful. Do you submit to the sovereignty of God? Oh, there's things that are so beautiful in the Word of God. We'll look at some more. Psalm chapter 102. Pardon me? Psalm 102. And verse 19. Psalm 102:19. I'm sorry, I should speak up. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven, did the Lord behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. My, oh my. What grace that was that he would do a thing like that. He looked down upon you in love. Another thing, you say, well, we talk about God selecting and choosing. And here's a man that was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We'll talk about this for a moment. Man may come along and say, I wasn't chosen. Well, the gospel goes out to that man, and God commands that man to repent. And he finds the goodness of God drawing him to repentance. So you have God pulling and you have God pushing on him. And you ask him, remember when
Grandma sang you that song on her knee, Jesus Loves Me, and you scooted off her knee and wanted to get outside, and you got a little bit older, and someone handed you a gospel tract, and you took it up, and you said, I don't want that. That ruins my fun. And later on, you might have heard a street preacher standing out there crying out the message. And you beeped your horn and took off. And the Spirit of God strove with you. And what did you say? You said, no, 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 no. Sovereignty or not, the responsibility falls right square on your shoulders. You are responsible. And you're lost. And you will pay the penalty for all eternity for your rejecting Christ as your Savior. Think about that, young man, young woman, older one. Oh, the gospel is free tonight. It's full, and it's for you. Tailored for you, sinner. You need it. And I found it. Rather, God found me. Well, let's think about this a while. At the cross, He yielded up His life, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. He gave His life. He suffered. He bled and He died. He went into the grave, and the third day He rose again triumphant. And they rolled that stone away from the front of that tomb there to show that He was a resurrected Savior. I think of it this way. We think of this strong archway. You've seen these stone bridges, and they have, coming up the side, you have these stones, and then there's a cornerstone at the top there. Think of all these wonderful truths of Christianity, so wonderful and so true. Substitution. Think about that. Blessed truth. But there's a capstone that fits right in the center. Let's just let that stone they rolled away from the grave, put that right in there. Clunk, right there. Resurrection. Resurrection is a wonderful thing. If you're a saved soul, if you're a lost soul, it's a terrifying thing because God knows all about you. They're coming up with this DNA business that's just astonishing. Inside this little cell that you can't hardly even see, many of them you can't see, is 10 and 15 feet of the map of your body. And these men say they can identify 15% of it, and they have the audacity to say 85% of it is junk DNA. Stupid. Resurrection, we're talking about that. If you looked out your window at your neighbor and you hated him, you just hated him. If I could only get rid of that man, I hate him so bad. So you went over there and you shot him. And he's dead. And nobody saw it happen, and you went to the funeral and you saw, sure enough, that man was dead. The coroner put him in the ground. And you're sitting there a couple days later and you're drinking coffee and you look out the window at your neighbor and there he's out in his garden again, hoeing his weeds. Terrifying, isn't it? That would terrify a man. Oh, resurrection. For a non-believer, it's a terrifying thing. But for those of us that believe, it's precious. It's comfort. It's sweet. Oh. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'll go over a couple things here. Matthew, we find the Lord Jesus looked at as the King. Mark, He's looked at as a perfect servant. Luke, He's looked at as the Son of Man, and John, He's the Son of God. Let's see what the world thinks about him in that aspect. This one, royal robes will soon invest him. Royal splendors crown his brow. What did they do? They took him to the place of a skull. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. They beat his head with a reed. Oh, there were those that anointed him. It says in Psalms, I think it's 103 or 4, he crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That was a king. Now, how about a perfect servant? Oh, you find those hands ministering daily, 3.5 years. They took a rope and they bound his hands. His feet. You'll find in the book of Luke, the Son of Man came down and he walked this world. And they ran nails through his feet. Oh, he said, look at my feet. Look at my feet. There were many in the book of Luke. Look it up sometime. The feet is found in the book of Luke. Over and over again you find the people at the feet of the Lord Jesus getting blessed. Now we come down to the book of John. We think of that there from his head, his hands, and his feet. Sorrow, love flowed mingled down. Beautiful. Down here now to the Son of God. And as a last act of hatred, you know, man, he's so broken. He's such a sinner. He's so twisted that he would step out with deadly intent against his own maker. Are you still in Adam's family? And he took a spear and they pierced that blessed side. And forthwith came there out that saving blood, water. Thousands have fled to his spear-pierced side. All have been welcomed, none are denied. Weary and laden, they all have been blessed. Joyfully now in the Savior they rest. Precious, precious truth. Where do you stand? There's no reason why this country should last another 5 minutes rejecting daily that name of the Lord Jesus Christ is blasphemed every day and his enemies take his name in vain. Are you a friend of those that take his name in vain? Jan Darby says, he that is a friend of the world constitutes himself enemy of God. You want to know how to determine whether you're an enemy of God or not? Check your path. Check your friends. He that is a friend of the world constituted enemy of God. Terrible. Responsible. Let him crown you with loving kindness tonight and tender mercies. Let him, instead of we binding him, let him gird himself and serve you now. Whosoever will. Oh, that's precious. Whosoever will. Again, we'll say it. If you want to add anything to this salvation that he's got offered tonight, if you want to add anything to it, you don't get any of it. It's not yours for the taking. But if you come God's way and you tell him that you're lost and you tell him that you're a sinner and you tell him that I deserve what I know I deserve, I deserve a lost eternity because of my sins. And you bow yourself down, get down in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and you pray the sinner's prayer. What is the sinner's prayer? Customer of ours, black lady, she was talking about taking her mother to the hospital. Dear old lady, she was worried. She knew she was going to go in the front door of that hospital, a wheelchair this way, and she wasn't going to come out that way. There's a door out back where they quietly slip you out. She knew. That's it. And as she's being pushed in by her daughter, she turns and she says, "My daughter, I'm afraid. I'm afraid." You know what that daughter said? Oh, this is good. "Mama, have you prayed the sinner's prayer?" Well, she said, "What is it?" "Do you know the sinner's prayer? And have you prayed the sinner's prayer?" "Old man, old lady, older lady, I speak respectfully. Time has gone by and you've never prayed the sinner's prayer. What is the sinner's prayer tonight? Do you know it?" "It's so simple. It's so short. And it'll save your soul. God, be merciful to me, the sinner." That's it. And there's the Lord Jesus, the Savior. And what do you have to do? You just bring that load of sins and you put it all down there in front of Him and said, "This is me, Lord, this is me. I'm lost." What if your life was added up and everything you did in your lifetime? Now let me ask you a question. Who won the Rose Bowl in 1938? I don't know. Who won the Rose Bowl in 1955? You don't know. Who won it in 88? Well, probably nobody here knows. Nah, it's nothing. But that's what men fill their minds and their hearts with tonight. I enjoy sports. But oh, let it not turn my eyes away from Jesus. Where will you spend eternity? Think about it. Where will you spend eternity? I know where I'm going to be. The Lord Jesus is going to descend from heaven with a shout. That archangelic voice. The dead are going to hear. The alive are going to be raised up. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Does that terrify you? It says to me, comfort one another with these words. Blessed Bible that we have here. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Whosoever is thirsty, let him come and drink," it says in here. This book is closing. The time is over. You'll be going home. You'll be going back to your school. You'll be going back to your business. Don't go back lost. God is, I can't imagine how He could give. He gave Nineveh 40 days. He gave Sodom a few hours. He gave Noah, the people in that time, 120 years perhaps, and then there was another 7 days. What if the day of grace is closed on this country some years ago, and this is an extension because God doesn't want to see you lost? Think about it. Bow your knees tonight, children. Don't tell me. Tell your mom. They're the ones that have been dead. They've been praying for you. Grandma, Grandpa's praying for you. Wants to see you get saved and saved tonight. Oh, shall we pray? And our loving Father, what a marvelous story we have tonight. Lord Jesus, Thou dost go to a cross. Shameful cross. Thou dost bear in Thine own body our sins on the tree. What grace. And Lord, we've been the recipients of this kindness. By grace we've been saved through faith. Not of ourselves, a gift of God. Oh, we thank Thee. And this conference is over. God, we feel the solemnity of it. This world has reached its terminus because of sin, we believe. And those of us that know the Lord Jesus are going to go home singing. So, Father, in our weakness, our lack of love for souls, Thou dost love, Lord Jesus, save by Thy grace a little boy, a little girl tonight. May heaven rejoice, Lord Jesus. May the heart of the Father rejoice. A wandering one brought back from the fields of sin. Lord Jesus, we call upon Thee this last and closing day of grace. Lord Jesus, amen.